Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Bloom That. When you go to bloomthat.com/ghost with your select purchase, you will get yourself not only some amazing flowers, you also get yourself a premium designer vase and caramel treats, a $25 value. bloomthat.com/ghost.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a deceased neighbor visits to warn of an impending disaster. While helping her mother at a hospital, a listener encounters a late doctor still in residence. A woman encounters the same fearless entity multiple times on a desolate road. And the negative energy left in a home by the previous occupants seems to have effects on the new occupants' behavior. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, and how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm being haunted by my chicken sandwich.
The
ghost of the
it?
Chicken sandwich returns. It was. It was a Korean barbecue sauce on there, and it was very good.
And it was fried.
And it was fried. And I'm sitting here going, that was delicious. It was when I was having it. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, lunch has not ended 3 hours later. Anyhow, good times. Excited about the episode today. Looks like some good stories on there. Want to let everybody know, and you may already know this because I've announced it at other places, but we have put up on ghostpodcast.com, the EPP website, the first episode with parentheses S per episodes as I make them,
mm-hmm.
of Dream Meanings, the new podcast. And it's you know, we're kind of going through the development of it and the creation of it, but the first episode, depending on the time you're hearing this episode, being posted there first for EPPs to take a listen to, give some feedback on it. Eventually, they'll all go public once we get that feed all set up and are ready to launch it. But in the meantime, you kind of get like an exclusive preview of the show before anybody else. So
yeah,
that's up there for you at ghostpodcast.com. Another benefit of being an EPP, you get to hear things before everyone else does. So check that out. And of course, you can also participate in that show as well. Instructions on the website on how to send in your dream, essentially. Then it can be analyzed and discussed on that program. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Let's go into this program and go into our first story of the day. It comes into us from Raleigh. It says, "Dear Jenny and Tony, it happened again." For some context, I wrote in a while back describing how all my family, all our paranormal manifestations tend to take the form of dreams. The story of how a family friend apparently had a prophetic dream of some sort foretelling her own death in a bus crash. Again, I should point out that these things never really happened to me, so I'm only acting as the family scribe, but this is what I've come to know in the last few days. On the night of July 27th, safely in her bed somewhere in Illinois, my aunt had a dream. This aunt, as they may or may not have mentioned before, I can't really remember, has a pretty eerie knack for being spot on with her dreams, particularly when they involve deaths in the near future or messages relayed to her by long-deceased loved ones. This dream was no different. She dreamed that she was back in her childhood home in Belize City, standing in the middle of the road, looking up at the sky, and suddenly a thin, stately man approached her. Upon closer study, she recognized him as an old neighbor that she had grown up alongside for many, many years and who had died just the previous year. She hadn't really thought about him in months, and they hadn't been especially close at the end of his life, so she was a bit unsure of why he, of all people, should appear to her like this. The man smiled, and the clouds above her rolled and split, revealing a perfect circle of clear, dark sky through which she could see all the stars in the heavens above, forming the constellations of the zodiac. She said the man then looked at her in the eye and told her that he had come to give her a very important message. A great storm was coming, a terrible hurricane that would wreak havoc in the city and cause the deaths of family and friends in the area if they did not start preparing for it right away and relocate to higher ground. Not long after, she woke up, phoned my mother to relay the bizarre dream. No one could really understand what it meant. The weather in the city had been a bit rainy here and there, but no signs of major storms anywhere nearby. My aunt was poised to forget all about the dream until about a week later, when out of the blue a storm system cropped up off the west coast of Africa and started barreling towards the Caribbean. Hurricane Earl. Despite the approaching Earl only registering as a Category 1 hurricane, not too much of a big deal by Caribbean standards. Remembering her dead neighbor's warning in the dream, my aunt immediately began heading up in effort to prepare for the storm by moving valuables, furniture, and family members to higher ground. Being a pretty close-knit community, once the other residents of their street saw their efforts, they all packed up and followed suit, heading inland to relatives' homes or cramming into shelters. Hurricane Earl touched down at the city on August 4th with winds up to 80 miles per hour, whipping the waves and sending ocean water surging in over the shallow city walls. Over 1,000 people in Belize were displaced. After the storm had cleared, another aunt went back to check the damage to the family home. Miraculously, the rickety 50-odd-year-old wood plank home was untouched. In fact, most homes along the street had fared just fine. This, after the same storm went to decimate other homes, cause over $100 million in damages, trigger landslides, and kill over 50 people in Mexico. Pretty strange. Stranger still, the name of the dead neighbor who accurately warned my aunt in her dream a full week before the hurricane hit? Mr. Earl. Draw your own conclusions, I guess. Hope you enjoyed the story. Not quite sure what to make of it myself. Still loving the show. Still largely too broke to afford a yearly subscription. I know, breaks my heart too. And still more or less inert to any haunted happenings. Save perhaps for the time I may or may not have gotten punched in the back after potentially not being as mindful of an old seaside grave as I should have been. Maybe I'll write in about it sometime. If I remember. Which I may not do, because I'm easily distracted. But fingers crossed. Raleigh.
I think it's a little bit more than a coincidence that the person that delivered the message was the same name of the hurricane.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of a, just to prove that this is for real and not a dream.
I think that would be the, kind of the tipping point there. If you kind of, you know, well, I have dreams sometimes, and a lot of times they're pretty accurate, sometimes they're not. But the weather's clear. I think the second you see, oh, there is a hurricane coming. Okay, that's coincidence. You know, maybe. I'll take it a little more serious. Oh, it's Hurricane Earl. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I, okay, yep, I get it. That's where you go, full bore. Yes, I'm going to follow your instructions. So, yeah, that's a good one. Thanks for sharing that experience with us here. Real Ghost Stories Online. Rebecca writes in, well, this story includes my mom and my grandmother. See, my grandmother's house here in Amarillo, Texas, I believe has more than just a haunting or a paranormal situation. Before my grandmother moved into her home, a suicide and a murder had taken place there. Now, when my grandma and her husband moved in, no one knew what had taken place in the home until later, after most of the experiences had taken place. The first significant experience was with my mom, who had awakened one night while sleeping in the middle room, gasping for air. As she woke, there was something standing above her. It was a black shadow. Shadow man with a straw hat standing over her with a pillow. My mom really freaked out, but never mentioned it to anyone until years later. I can remember visiting throughout the years, having doors closed on their own, knockings in the walls, and things moving on their own. The next significant experience was with my older brother and his wife. They had come from Florida to visit and stayed there at my grandma's house. Well, there, my brother started displaying violent, weird behavior. They went back to Florida. My brother had a visit to a priest and get blessed. Visiting there, though, the years, I always felt that something evil was there. I knew for sure it wasn't good. My grandmother passed away in April of 2009, and that's when my special gifts really started to take place. After she passed, I started having dreams with her house and her giving me messages in the dreams. Now, let me say this, my grandmother and I were not close at all. There's one dream I keep having repeatedly. It starts as me entering her home and walking straight to the back room where I believe the murder had taken place. And in the dreams, it shows a dark mass and an evil force in the room. I see and feel myself fighting with whatever is in there. Always at the end of the dream, it shows itself as an ugly demon. I have this dream reoccurring over and over. I also dream of the house with my grandmother in it, with me. I have a gift of being able to connect with people who have passed in my dreams, and I have many experiences that I'd love to share, including me just being able to read others when I'm contacted. I'm very in tune with the paranormal world and love to have different experiences and share them.
I kind of had a thought with this story that she's sensitive, but it seemed to go up a notch when the grandmother passed away. It made me wonder if somehow some of that sensitivity that the grandmother had could then be passed on to her, so she's got more sensitivity now.
Can you bestow your skills onto your loved ones when you die?
That's what I'm kind of wondering.
It's like somebody's like a basketball pro, but like the grandchildren's a real big klutz, but then he dies.
No.
Bam!
I know that won't work.
Air Jordan.
We're talking about things a little bit outside of, you know.
Sports.
Sports, the average things.
Yeah, so you're talking more about things like this, like sensory type.
Like maybe the grandmother is with her and mm-hmm. it gives her the extra sensory
mm-hmm.
beyond what she already had.
Sure. I could see that being a possibility.
I don't know. It could just be way out there. I just thought it was interesting that once the grandmother passed away, her senses kicked mm-hmm. up a notch.
It is. It's odd, but that's an interesting theory that you have there on it. We don't talk about weird things on the show or
never
or the possibility of things outside the box, just so you know. Hey, Mother's Day, not too far away, and it's probably a good thing to plan a little bit ahead, at least, especially if mom's in a different state. And here's a good gift that you will definitely blow her away with. There's a lot of flower companies out there. I've seen them. I've used them. This one is different. I just had like a very long conversation with one of the directors of it the other day. Bloom That. Okay. Now, just to put it in perspective, when you order flowers online from a lot of other places, these things are picked weeks in advance. You may not know that, but they are. That's why sometimes when you get them out of the box, they're like semi-alive or they're alive for a couple days and then kind of gone right after that. Bloom That, flowers are picked in the United States, okay? So they're not from out of country. They don't have to ship very far to where they're going, and they're picked right when they are ordered. So they're not sitting in that box for several weeks. That means you have a lot longer lifespan on these things once they're taken out of the box and put wherever you're going to display them. So that is number one. They are beautiful, beautiful flowers. And by the way, what you order is what you get. You may not know this with some other things. Sometimes you put the order in, and the flowers that the recipient receives, not quite the same because they run out or this or that, and they have to do substitutions. That doesn't happen here. This is what you are getting. So that's nice.
That is nice.
Especially, you know, mom's going to say regardless, oh, yes, I got those flowers. You know, and you thought you're sending roses and it's, you know, just a large bouquet of baby's breath. that's not the case here. And you don't get fillers like that with this company either. It's high quality stuff. Really, really nice stuff. And they have a really, really good deal for you right now for our Real Ghost Stories online listeners. When you place your order there at Bloom That, you're going to get the gorgeous bouquet just picked hand-designed, Instagram-ready, as they would say. Plus, they're going to give you a premium designer vase that costs everyone else about $15. It's not the little plastic thing you may have seen in some other places. This is a nice vase. You're going to want to keep it and reuse it. It's not one you just kind of toss out and go, eh, oh well. Plus, handmade caramel treats, normally $10, also free to you guys. Huge savings, about $25. It is the best deal they're offering. You can only get this deal if you go to bloomthat.com/ghost. It's bloomthat/ghost. Find the perfect handcrafted designer flowers. You'll automatically get the free premium designer vase and caramel treats, $25 value. Again, bloomthat.com/ghost for a premium designer bouquet, free vase and treats. Don't wait. The amazing offer not going to last very long. It's only available to you guys if you go to bloomthat.com/ghost. Check it out. All right, 855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share those experiences with us. Anna says, I have several experiences. I started having sleep paralysis at an early age, and I still have 3 or 4 episodes a month. I feel like there's a paranormal connection with my sleep paralysis. The shadow man that I see during an episode, the things that I hear and the things that I feel, it's all just so real. I'm 36 years old now, and it still scares me every time I have an episode. On one of my most vivid memories of a paranormal experience was when I was around 11 years old. My mom worked at a hospital in my little hometown in Burnett, Texas, and they had decided to build a new hospital, so we had to empty everything out of the old one and either get rid of it or move it to the new facility. I was helping my mom move some things around, and I took a silver car and rolled to the emergency department where we had just cleared everything out of the small waiting area next to the emergency room. When I walked by that waiting area, I saw a long brown trench coat and a plaid bowler style. Is it bowler? Bowler?
Bowler.
Bowler style hat that was hanging on some hooks on the wall, but I knew we had just cleaned everything out of there, so I was a little bit confused. At the same time, I got a strong smell of pipe tobacco. When I walked into the waiting area to retrieve the jackets that I had and the hat, I can very clearly see smoke coming out of the air. It was almost as if someone were smoking a pipe or a cigar. I looked to my right to retrieve the jacket and the hat, but they were gone. I got scared, and I ran back to my mom and told her what I had just seen. That's when she pointed to a picture on the wall of a doctor who would have founded that hospital. His name was Dr. Shepherd. He wore a long brown coat, a plaid hat, and smoked a pipe. He'd also been dead for years. Never went back into that hospital again, which was sad because I pretty much grew up there. I do have several other stories I'd love to share, but we can save that for a different time. With this being my first real experience, I thought this would be the best place to start. My episodes of sleep paralysis started shortly after this incident took place. I love your show.
I wonder why that happens as far as her sleep paralysis starting after this.
You think it's just kind of the beginning of being aware of the abilities that this individual had or has, and it was just kind of the tipping point. It's like once you realize you're good at something, mm-hmm. You know, it the ability may always be there, but until you start like honing in on it, it's like, oh, I can play the recorder really good. I'm badass at the kazoo. You don't realize this until you start doing it, and you're like, shit, I can play Kenny G Songbird on the kazoo, and it sounds just like Kenny G.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone can do that.
Nope, not everyone can do that.
But once you do, it's there. It's there and it becomes a part of you.
Yep.
Where is my kazoo?
I'd love to. I don't know.
Break into something.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
You do like one of those Kenny G duets or something, and I could play that and you could sing. And what would be a good Kenny G duet?
I don't know. Why don't you ask Livy when she gets home? Because she's learning the ukulele right now.
They are doing ukulele.
That would be perfect for you in a kazoo.
It's like, it's amazing and crazy at the same time. It's like, did you ever do ukulele?
Never.
I don't think we even had ukulele.
There was one school where we learned the recorder, but that was it.
Yeah, we did the recorder and it was horrible. I don't even know why they do the recorder. Of all the instruments that, like, you know, that you could teach children on, or some basics on, as a whole, Why the hell do they keep going back to recorders?
I don't know.
No one is. Does anyone in this world like the sound of a recorder? Is it appealing to anyone?
Dwight Schrute, and that's it.
That's about it. I mean, of all the things, is it just because it's a cheap instrument and it's approachable to every single person and the schools can get them, or what? I don't know.
I don't know.
I would think maybe more like, although it would be expensive, and it really, maybe that's it. Maybe that's just what it is. I was just thinking something more along the lines of a notated like a keyboard of some sort. But then all the schools would have to have enough for each kid, and that's not feasible.
And most schools are cutting the arts
exactly
as we speak. So we're fortunate that our little one learned the recorder.
We're
this
lucky
year.
Enough they get the recorder.
Yeah,
that's true. That is true. 855-853-4802. I was kind of playing a little bit of the recorder the other day, and I had like the first couple notes of My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah, you did. And I thought, oh, shit, that's going to be on the show, because the way you always kind of hum that. And I noticed that and I was like, oh, fuck, that's the last thing we need is for you to know how to play that on the recorder.
And it actually sounded not bad. It kind of sounded like the...
Stop looking for your recorder. It's not anywhere near here.
It's not. It's Harper's recorder.
Yeah, you've got stories to read.
Damn. Just go ask her where it is. Bring it in, we'll play a little bit. I don't even remember how to do it. I just happened to...
You hit it, and I was like, oh, shit. We're all in trouble now.
This is our life. Jenny's in the other room, and I'm in the other room, and she suddenly hears, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I can only just imagine the look on your face, like, what the fuck did he figure out how to do now?
I figured you YouTubed it or some kind of crap like
no,
that.
No, I just was messing around. There you go. All right. April writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. First off, I want to say thank you. I'm obsessed with your podcast, and listening has helped me to understand some things that have happened to me in the past. I am the niece in California who urged my aunt to write in about the statues in Gettysburg on the optical illusion episode. She is now hooked on your show as well. I have many stories, having had paranormal experiences my entire life, but today I'm going to tell you about the creepiest one I've experienced so far. I went to college in Philadelphia. I had a weekly DJ night at one of the local clubs. It was about 2:30 a.m. and a friend gave me and my girlfriend a ride home. We asked him to drop us off about 3 blocks away from our apartment in the Wawa, or at a Wawa, which is basically a convenience store in Philly, with made-to-order sandwiches. We were hungry and we wanted to grab something to eat before we got home. I want to preface this by saying I was not drunk. Since this wasn't a school night, I didn't have any my usual free bottomless liquors while playing records. We get our sandwiches, start walking down the street to our apartment. Across the street, coming towards us, I see this tall, dark figure almost gliding along, not really taking actual steps. My immediate thought was something harmful. It was Philly, after all, and it's never a matter of if you get mugged, but more like when. Notice my girlfriend starting to pick up the pace, so I did too. Keeping an eye on this figure while doing so. At one point, we were directly across the street from each other. I looked over and stared right into its green cat-like eyes and disheveled sort of haircut. Keep in mind that at this time, I desperately needed glasses, so seeing someone's actual facial details from a distance was impossible for me, let alone at night. The second we locked eyes, I felt a terrible feeling inside. Horrible. Dread, sadness, fear. At this point, I was in a full-on sprint as I stood there, staring back at whatever this was. I started to run as well, and I looked back a few seconds later to see that the figure had completely vanished. There's no streets or alleys for them to duck into. It's like they just vanished into thin air. As soon as we get to our apartment, we're both panicking. Not talking yet, but desperately trying to get the keys into the door so we can run into our apartment for safety. We get inside, lock the door, and I peer out the window. We're in a corner apartment and could easily see multiple directions on the streets below. My girlfriend at the time just looks at me, as white as a ghost, and says, "Did you see that?" Oh, while trembling, I said, "Yes, you saw it too." She then proceeded to tell me that she just saw a gray, smoky blur gliding up the street in our direction. And that's when she began sprinting fast. I explained to her what I saw, full details of a person with the green cat-like eyes. We were terrified for the rest of the night, barely slept, and I kept looking out the windows, convinced this person was, or thing, was going to come back and find me. Fast forward a couple years, we'd broken up. I was dating someone else. We went to college, art school together, and she had previously done a photo project with several of Philly's infamous drag queens, the new girlfriend. One day, we're flipping through the photos she had taken, and I see her, green cat eyes, long, black, beautiful hair, the exact same person I saw that night. I tell my girlfriend the story, and she says, April, that was a drag queen that was murdered, and the case still hasn't been solved. I almost threw up. I remember hearing the story of this drag queen who had gotten picked up by the police and later found in an alley beaten to death with her head bashed in. The police swear they had just dropped her off and the incident happened after they had already left her. Ever since that night, I wonder why she chose to show herself to me. Why didn't my girlfriend at the time see her as well? Anyways, like I said earlier, I have a ton of stories and will definitely write in more, but felt like this one was best to start with. Thank you and keep it up. We love you both.
I think maybe it would have been too much for the girlfriend to have seen this person that she actually knew and had a picture of.
You know, that's true. I didn't think of it that way. I was thinking more so this is a prime example of different people's abilities to see the other side, the undead. One person getting a full-blown image, the other person just seeing a bit of a shadow or a mist. And if there's another person there, they may see nothing at all. Or, on the other end of the coin, could it be the entity itself choosing who sees what? Where is the control there? Is it the entity that's controlling this, or is it just people's ability and the ability to sense it? It's like, you know, when somebody says, you know, what's that smell? And you smell nothing at all.
I think the only ability, or the only control of ability that we have, is to actually turn it off.
Yeah.
And just
I don't think people can turn it off.
I think some people can.
I don't know. Maybe. I think that's a minority, though. I think a lot of people have it, and they don't necessarily want to have it. And there's no like, it's not going to happen. Not going to feel this today.
Right. But I don't think people that don't have it, no matter how much they want to.
Sure.
Can develop that.
I agree. I think it's not something you really turn on, turn off.
No,
I mean, maybe
some people can't.
Maybe, yeah, I think some people can learn to kind of zone that out or, you know, just as, you know, you can do that with certain things. If you have like white noise around you all the time, or let's say like a creak in the background, eventually you just don't hear it. Mm-hmm. It's just there. And I can see that kind of being what some people have. But I think people, you know, it's like the scale. It's a smell test.
Yeah.
I think that's the best example I can give. Is some people, you know, they can pick up on, you know, darn near everything around them, you know, with great detail to the point of like, I can, you know, I can't, but somebody, I can smell the plastic on the monitors and I can smell, you know, this and that and what's in the air. And me, I'm like, I don't smell shit, you know, but that's, you know, somebody's going to be kind of in the middle where it's like, oh, I can just smell the air freshener in the room, but I can't pick up on the monitors over here.
Right.
And that's kind of, I think, how that works as far as seeing the other side. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like what we're doing, make sure you become an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. Get all those bonus episodes of the show right there at ghostpodcast.com. Next letter. Hey, Tony and Jenny. Greetings from Finland. My name is Petrus, and I believe in the paranormal. Being there has only been one thing that's happened to me. My story starts from Christmas Eve 2014 when I suffered from inflammation of the pancreas and kidney failure, and my heart stopped for a short amount of time, so it was a near-death experience for me. I was passed out for 3 days, and after I woke up in the intensive care unit, I spent around 2 weeks there, and after that, I was transferred to the ward where I spent almost 2 months. During this period, I experienced a few very scary drug-induced hallucinations, and I knew that those were caused by my medication. After a month at the ward, I asked the doctor if they could withhold the painkillers because I was experiencing these things. A week passed, and I was off the painkillers. I had a roommate with me, let's call him Jesse, who was around in his 80s. During this one night, I was awake watching Aliens 3 from the TV when my roommate was sleeping, and suddenly the TV shut down after flickering a little bit. I started hearing this deep moaning coming from the door, and I couldn't inspect the sound because I was not allowed to walk. After that, there was a black mass next to my roommate's bed, and it looked like a 7-foot-tall man. He had long fingers, looked like branches. He, or more likely it, was watching my roommate while standing next to his bed. I was scared shitless and could not call the nurses. After a while, it disappeared, and then I could call the nurses. They didn't believe me when I told them what happened. This kept happening every night for 4 days, and I was never able to see the thing's face. During the fifth night, this happened again, but this time it was very different and much scarier. It stood beside his bed again, and I was trembling in fear. Then it started to turn its head, and when it looked at me for a while, I passed out and woke next morning when nurses woke me up and told me that my roommate died that night. I was terrified because I was wondering if it was an angel of death or demon or something. Still, when it looked at me, I felt that it's not my time to leave, yet even though I was scared shitless. I really like your show. I'll become an EPP when my wallet allows it. Keep up the good work.
It makes you think that that 7-foot-tall dark thing was some kind of death figure, since it was over the roommate's bed and then the roommate was suddenly dead the next day.
It is interesting to think of, is there like a grim reaper that shows up? Because we have stories where it's not like that, where it's like a loving family member or pet even that's like, oh, hey, look who's here to kill you. Or not to kill you, but to help guide you over.
Well, but it makes you wonder, is that what the person who's dying sees?
Sure.
Or is that just what the person who is watching the dying person see?
Or do only certain people get the nice reunion party to leave and others get the, hey, guess what? You got no one to usher you to the other side, so here's who you get.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Layla says, hey guys, my name is Layla. I'm from Victoria, Australia. I'm a pretty new listener to your show, but I absolutely love it, and it's made me want to share one of my own paranormal experiences with you both, as I have always been very sensitive when it comes to spirits and whatnot. So my partner lives about an hour away from me, and I usually work at night, finishing at about 12 a.m., and sometimes I'll drive out to see him because he is up late anyway. The road I travel on to his place has a lot of bends and is surrounded by a lot of thick bushland, and because of the risk of kangaroos, I usually drive very slowly. This is where the story takes place. One night I was driving to my partner's, as I've done many times before, going around the usual bends at the usual slow pace, when I noticed a figure up ahead, which I immediately found odd because there weren't many, if any, houses on this stretch of road. As I got closer, I could see it was a man, and he was wearing a suit without a tie and was standing right by the edge of the road. He was facing me, but made no reaction at all to my headlights. And because of my slow pace, I took my time passing him. That's when I noticed his lack of features. He did have a face, but there was no eyes, nose, or mouth, only the facial shapes where those features would be. Another thing I should note is that he was extremely still, hands at his side, made no indication at all that he saw me. This experience gave me a weird vibe, and it's only gotten weirder as I've seen this man on several other occasions on the same stretch of road. Sometimes he'll turn his head and continue watching my car. Other times he won't react at all, but I'm unsure about who or what he may be. My partner suggested maybe he's a ghost of someone who was in a car accident along that road and passed away. I'm not sure. I would love to hear your opinion. Thank you. It was only a short one, but that's my most recent experience. I can't get out. Yeah, I can't wrap my head around.
It could be a ghost of somebody who died along there, or it could be a residual haunting of somebody who died along there.
Yeah. I mean, could it be that it is kind of just a traveling ghost, and it's not that it doesn't have eyes or a nose or a mouth, but that's all the clearer it is projecting itself? It's like blurriness.
Could be.
Essentially. And that's what they're picking up on?
Could be. I just think the way she sees it at basically the same spot, same type of day, or same time of day.
Sure.
You know, it kind of makes me think of more of a residual.
Yeah, I agree there. I'm just wondering if the intensity of it, if it really doesn't have the face, if it's that's just the projection of what it's putting out there.
Sure.
More than anything. Thanks for the story. Lily writes in, first, I'd like to say I love your podcast. Can't get enough of it. I've always been attracted to the paranormal world, and getting to know that others do as well brings me much joy and relaxation. Now on to my story. As I said before, I've always been a fan of the paranormal. Even as a child, I used to look for books and reports about paranormal experiences. I knew people who would tell me stories, some real, some fake. I moved into an apartment around 1999. Prior to moving in, I decided to have my parents ask if there was any history to the apartment. The only file we received was a bad fire report, but no one passed away. I was 8 years old when I had my first experience. We had just a week in the apartment, and I was in my parents' bedroom looking for a towel. That's when I heard a knock, but not from the door, but from inside the closet. I instantly knew what was going on, so I stood by the closet and waited. This time, the knock came louder, and then bang, it was like if someone was trying to get out. My mom heard it too, and she came in running, thinking I had fallen, and that's when I explained to her, but she didn't believe me. A couple years passed, and throughout the years, we had minor incidents, dishes clattering, doors slamming, TV turning on and off. My parents kept ignoring it, telling me I was making things up, but they experienced it too. They were just in denial. One of my most memorable experiences was when I was 15 years old. I stayed home alone that day. I decided to shower and left the bathroom door open, and when I heard footsteps and the toilet seat being moved, suddenly I hear a child's voice. "Are you almost done? I'd like to play with you." The voice was of a little boy, very sweet and light, like if he was harmonizing while talking. It took me several seconds to realize that I was by myself, but someone had spoken to me. I opened the curtain, but no one was there. After that, we started getting apparitions of a small white figure who kept running into my room. I had nights where my door would lock on its own, items would move or go missing for weeks. We'd hear knockings, but never more than just two. I just moved out of my mother's apartment, and she says she doesn't feel the child anymore. It's like if he left when I did. I haven't had any incidents at my new apartment. I'm not sure if he left or if he's getting used to the new place. I've looked for the history of that building, but nothing comes up. I still wonder where it came from.
I have a thought on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it said nobody died in the fire, but there was a bad fire.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes, kids get scared and they hide in closets.
Yeah.
What if this little kid was in the fire, got hurt, lived in the hospital for a while before then passing?
Or what if he's still alive? He's an adult and this is simply the energy that's replaying. We've had that before, too.
Yeah.
I could see that just being that.
I think it has something to do with the fire,
though. I do, too. And I think it probably is related to someone hiding in that closet. Mm-hmm. That would be my guess. But that's the interesting thing. You know, prior to doing this show, I would say, well, exactly what you said. Maybe someone died, you know, mm-hmm. after the fact. But after hearing some of the stories where the living seem to have, are able to create residual forces, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, ghosts, quote unquote, that could also be at play there. So thank you for the story. Thank you for sharing that. Sarah says, "Hey, Jenny and Tony, it's Sarah. I guess I should name where I'm from. San Antonio, go Spurs," she says. I haven't ever thought of this as a ghost story, but after listening to the March 7th episode, this clicked to me as one. To give some backstory, my mom passed away when I was 4, so there's a lot she missed out in my life. So when I was planning my wedding in 2010, I was missing her strongly. I was planning my wedding, and my husband and I both were angry at each other. I didn't know how we were going to get the money for everything we needed and how we were going to deal with the family feud that's ongoing between my stepmother and my biological mom's side of the family. That night, when I fell asleep, I dreamed that I was in a waiting room, like a doctor's office, waiting. My aunt, grandfather, and brother went up the staircase that was in front of us. I didn't want to go with them and said I'd wait until they got back. I waited for a while, and after they came back, my brother said my mom wanted to see me, and if I didn't, Mom would be really hurt. I came all that way and didn't go, so I had no choice. Walked up the stairs, opened the big wooden door in front of me. It opened into an elementary classroom with a bunch of children playing and a sweet-looking man watching. I was confused. Where was my mother? Then a small girl with dark hair came up and said hello and asked me to sit. I asked her how she knew where the adults were. Suddenly, the little child sat up straight and I was suddenly staring at my mom. I began crying and hugging her. She held me and I began talking about the crap we were dealing with and my fears. She told me that everything would be fine and not to worry about anything. Unfortunately, at that moment, I woke up feeling ripped away from her. I told my husband what I had dreamt, and he held me. He then said he wanted to do a memory table at our reception for the members of the family who'd be there in spirit. I knew my mom decided to comfort me during this tough time, and the wedding went off, though. I'd be lying if I said without a hitch, but at least I married my best friend. Thank you for reading this.
I think it was a visit. I think that it's pretty common for loved ones to come back when you're having a difficult time with something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of these cases.
Comes back to give some comfort to help her mm-hmm. work through that situation. I agree. I think that's probably what it was, especially when it gets to be that vivid.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Jamie from Indiana writes in, I've been listening to your podcast for about a month now after hearing several mentions of hotel room hauntings. I figured I should share a story about a hotel stay I had when I was in Louisville, Kentucky for work. This is not my first hotel room haunting, but it is certainly the craziest and most intense experience that I've had to date. My boyfriend and I checked into a room at the east suburbs of Louisville, Kentucky. I had to go to work to a work event in the morning. We had a nice dinner, retired to our room. He left the room to get ice from the ice machine down the hall. No explanation as to why I felt the urge to look through the peephole, but I looked through the peephole. As I peeped through the hole, I saw a clear image of him walking down the hallway. Then a few seconds later, the peephole went blurry and then went back to clear. I didn't think anything of it at the time. I wear contact lenses and occasionally they move out of position and my eyesight becomes temporarily blurry. My boyfriend returned with the ice. We had a nightcap and went to bed. I didn't have a problem falling asleep. However, once I fell asleep, I proceeded to have strange, vivid, and indescribable dreams. It's very hard to put into words, but it seems like I was in an awake state, yet felt like I was getting rest. But at the same time, I was experiencing conscious feelings and very strong emotions about my dreams. I should note that when I woke, I could not remember what the dreams were about, but had a very strange and anxious feeling. Towards the early morning time, I started to experience sleep paralysis. I was no longer feeling rested. I felt nervous, trapped, and paralyzed. Again, it's very difficult to describe, but somehow I knew that I was asleep. I was also very aware of my surroundings in the hotel room. I realized that my boyfriend was sleeping next to me, and he seemed to be distressed or having a bad dream. He was kicking his legs as if he was running. At that very moment, I was able to come out of my sleep paralysis, and I woke him up to let him know that he must have been having a nightmare. We both went back to sleep without saying a word. I had to wake early to go to my work event. I worked my event and went back to pick him up at the hotel around 1:30 p.m. He loaded the car with our luggage, and I hopped in. We didn't really speak until we got on the road and headed back to Indiana. As we merged onto 65 North, I mentioned that I had crazy dreams as well as sleep paralysis. He immediately chimed in that he also had a crazy dream that he couldn't remember and that he had sleep paralysis as well. We compared our experiences and they seemed very similar. He actually thanked me for waking him up. He said he had felt like he was being chased and battling some sort of evil, a force or an entity. I told him that his legs were kicking as if he were running just before I woke him. We were in a new relationship, and neither of us had discussed ghosts or the paranormal, although, as it turns out, we have both had prior unexplained experiences. We were both very shaken and disturbed by the encounter. The further we got away from Louisville, the more details we felt inclined to share with each other. I know for a fact that something was haunting that room, or perhaps even the entire hotel. There is no other explanation for our concurrent crazy dreams and sleep paralysis experiences. I know that you frequently talk about hotel hauntings. I wonder if there's a way for your listeners to share haunted hotel stories and tag locations or hotels, now that we cannot be the only people that have experienced that energy, entity, spirit at that hotel. I'm happy to be able to share our story. I have told a few people about our experience, and I'm sure that they thought that I was being dramatic or crazy. I have a couple other stories about hotel stays, as well as a couple of stories from my childhood. I'm happy to share those as well. However, I don't think that they are as intense or creepy as my above story. Thanks for your time. Love the podcast.
I don't think we can start a haunted hotel database.
No, it's probably not. Some hotels are cool with that. Some really don't want to be known for being haunted.
As awesome as that would be.
Yeah. I think that probably would not work out. Nonetheless, I mean, people, you know, you can Google stuff and people post, you know, things out on, you know, their own sites or review sites, whatever, maybe find information that way. But for two people to have sleep paralysis simultaneously,
who don't usually have it.
Yeah. I mean, there seems to be a lot of sleep paralysis going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, you know, sometimes, yes, it is just the condition. Other times, not so much. And I think other times things are taking advantage of knowing how to get someone into that position to communicate whatever message it is they're wanting to communicate, and to get two people simultaneously in that state. That's, I think, a new one.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be staying there again. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Nathan writes in, thank you for making your podcast. I'm quite a new listener, but I'm enjoying listening to other people's supernatural experiences. I have a couple of paranormal stories, but this one leaves me the most baffled. I've always had feelings for the supernatural, like others who listen to this podcast. For example, friendly or unfriendly presences, feeling energies in rooms, and that kind of stuff. I found out in my early teens that I apparently have some form of connection with my grandmother or my grandfather who died. Well, my mother's grandfather who died while she was backpacking Europe. Somehow, his spirit has latched onto me in some way. My family and I often sense another person's presence and see a shadowy figure wearing a hat, apparently like the one he used to be, quite fond of wearing. Most of the time, his presence isn't noticeable, and we hardly know he's around. But this changed particularly when I became very emotionally upset. The best example of this is when my grandmother passed away, and naturally, being in my teens, I was very distraught. For the first week after her death, we could hear loud, fast-paced footsteps coming from the main bathroom. Not like a running, but more like a stroll one does while contemplating. Also, we started to see the same figure of him throughout our house more frequently. We'd only ever see him standing, though. He never was or has never been violent or aggressive towards us. I always feel that he's friendly, despite the fact that I find it creepy. Eventually, these stopped as I became less upset about my grandmother's death. Well, that's not the main story for today. Late last year, in the lower floor of our house, which I have always felt uncomfortable in, my brother came to the top of the stairs and was talking to me briefly. Seconds later, I heard a strange voice. It didn't sound strange or agitated. It just sounded like a whisper. It was a foreign voice. I did not recognize it. It sounded like it was either directly behind me or from where my brother was standing on the stairs. Slowly and calmly, the voice said my name and continued with, "You know who we are." I turned around thinking it was just my brother to find out that he had gone back upstairs and certainly could not have spoken and then left so quickly. I then walked up the stairs and into our living room and saw my family watching television with my brother. I asked when he got there. They said around 20 seconds prior. So he was in the lounge room when I heard the voice. Then I spotted my great-grandfather's shadow in the corner of the room, just standing like always. Should I be worried about the voice? Do you two have any insight or inputs that might be missing? Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you again for putting on such an amazing show.
I don't know that I would be real comfortable with the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not comfortable with the voice, I would tell the voice to go away.
You know who we are.
Yeah, right?
I just keep saying that. In different voices.
I mean, is it like that? Or is it like, you know who we are? You know?
It really, but inflection is a big part of this.
Yeah.
I'd like to know, because I take it as, you know, creepy and weird. And
I don't.
You know who we are.
Yeah.
Come on, we're family.
It could be the grandparents. You know who we are.
It's the Olive Garden.
Right.
Free breadsticks and salad. You know, it's that sort of it could be that approach, mm-hmm. You know, or it could be the closed down Sizzler or something, like, you know who we are. So there you go. That really does play a big role in what that story is and the direction mm-hmm. that it goes. I'm guessing it's your loved one.
Could be.
I'm hoping so anyway. Thank you for that story. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. A thank you to the sponsor of our show today, bloomthat.com/ghost. Go there. Get yourself some great flowers. Get mom some flowers and get yourself that great offer. That designer vase of a $15 value. It's yours free. The caramels, normally $10, free when you go to bloomthat.com/ghost and make that purchase for the holiday. So check that out. Also, ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air. Get all the bonus episodes and check out our new podcast, Dream Meanings. Posted for you before anybody else. It's just there right now. Eventually the world will hear it. Right now, it's only you. Because you know who we are. You can do the friendly version now?
You know who we are.
There you go. Ghostpodcast.com. Check that out. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski and Tony Brewski, thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.